Live from the I-10 corridor, it's the Dave Nemo Show.
Well, actually, we're not in the I-10 corridor. Actually, Sydney's over in the I-10 corridor in Ocean Springs. Well, we're in the I-10 corridor.
We are on the
I-10
corridor.
Actually, we're in the I-10 corridor. We're in San Antonio.
Smack dab in the middle of the
I-10 corridor. And by the way, we were having a great conversation before we came back, Dave, about this graph we're looking at. But before we get to the graph, let's get to the presenter of the graph as well. We got another new friend here. Would you do the honors and introduce him?
Yeah, Dean Croak is with us. And you hear Dean a lot with Mark Willis on the channel. So a shout out to Mark here this morning, but it's great to have you here in the early morning.
Thank you,
Dean,
for having me.
Dean is the principal analyst at DAT Freight and Analytics, DAT Solutions. His accent will give him away, so let's talk just a little bit about your own trucking career in Australia. A couple of million miles down under, huh?
Yeah, I did a lot of miles before I even could get a license on the farm with Dad, and my first driving experience was a wreck. I sat on my brother as a pillow. I used him as a pillow and sat on at age three and put the car through the garage wall. So I've been driving trucks ever since I could
introduction
see over the...
All uphill from there, man. That's a great beginning.
That kid's going to be a great truck driver.
Dad was always... They'd always hide the keys. They were never worried about snakes and spiders. It was always, let's hide the truck keys. See if I take off.
Well, it's great to have you here. And you got the Grumpy Pete. Everybody knows your truck,
It's a nice show truck that I've... when you sit behind a windscreen long enough, you start to get a pretty good picture of what you'd like to do if you had the means and time. So I found myself a nice old Werner Peterbilt one day and been rebuilding it ever since.
You know, we are in such a strange moment in history, coming out of, I'm saying
something.
We are coming out of COVID, the 2020. How much unraveling is there to be done at this, if you understand what I'm trying to say? Because that skews everything, and I'm almost willing to say, let's just forget 2020 and take it off the chart. It's offline thing. So there's a lot of unraveling here, but a lot of folks are entering into the... They're going out on the limb in some instances because of the conventional wisdom that I was telling you about that I learned 50-something years ago was that the owner-operator was a thing of the past. That was my first bit of conventional wisdom about trucking. So I've learned a lot about conventional wisdom at that point.
Right.
But now there's a big influx of more and more folks going for their own authorities based on what? What's going on now at the moment?
Yeah, there's some things that were... You know, normally the trucking industry is fairly resilient, but there were some things that were broken last year. I don't know we will ever go back to the way it was. And there's a lot of reasons for that. We're about to go on a multi-year economic boom, I think, the way that this economy is shaping up. But there were some things happened last year because of the pandemic. Certain types of freight disappeared. Mm-hmm. Other types of freight accelerated. So some shippers, like essential retailers, food, those sorts of volumes tripled. But for other carriers in general freight, food services for restaurants, it crashed.
Mm-hmm.
So what you end up with is this imbalance in the market, and it means more empty miles between loads. It means you can't balance your networks properly. You've got 100 loads in and 50 out of a city. And what that did is that shifted so much more volume into the spot market. Normally in a quiet market, about 90% of all loads move on contract, sort of, you know, fixed annual rates.
Mm-hmm.
But about 10% moves on the spot market, which is, you know, a load today, a one-time transaction. Well, last year, it was as high as 25% of loads were moving on spot.
Mm.
But, as Bob Costello will tell you, total truckload volumes didn't move up all that much. So there was this massive volume shift to spot as shippers tried to play catch-up, to restock deplenished inventories, to get urgent loads of medical supplies into markets. And what that did is that doubled and tripled the volume of freight in the spot market. And when you do that, that drives up the price. So spot rates are now at 10-year record highs. Now, so to get back to your question, what was the trigger? Well, if you think about it, if you own a truck, the average rate, according to Todd Amon at ATBS, is about $1.50 a mile just to run your own power. You need another 48 cents a mile to run your own trailer to get your own authority. So let's call break even $2 a mile. Mm-hmm. To have your own truck and trailer and your own authority. Well, as soon as spot rates hit $2 a mile in about June, July last year, you're above break even. So if you're a lease contractor to a large fleet, you had the incentive to run over to the other side of the market, which is run your own authority and get your own trailer. So with spot rates now up around $2.50 a mile and even higher, you're 50 cents a mile higher than the break even. And that's why carriers have gone from, you know, like diesel last year is 65 cents, diesel 65 cents down, and I think spot rates are about 85 cents a mile higher. So what that's translated into for carriers, this time last year they were making 5 cents a mile profit, now they're making 62 cents a mile profit. So that's been the big draw for all of these carriers to join the industry, and according to the DOT, we've added about 40,000 new companies in the last year.
That's
78% though are owner operators.
Yeah.
So how do you hang up a shingle, buy a truck, buy a used truck with a bit of warranty? Well, of course, you've got all these apps, these digital freight broker apps now, where you can essentially be in business and have complete visibility into the market from the seat of your truck. It's like it's never been easier.
Trucks run on diesel. Trucking runs on smartphones. I wrote that bumper sticker a couple of years ago. And but it's true, isn't it? Yeah.
So much more
does
visibility.
Does that level the playing field to in a true sense,
it
though?
It does. Okay. Normally, a large fleet would have to spend millions and millions of dollars on technology, fleet optimization. You've got very clever digital freight brokers out there like Convoy and Uber who can do all of that in the background for you and match your loads with where you are based on the lat long ping coming off your telematics device. You know, I can tell them where you are relative to the load. So I know ELDs is a touchy subject, but the data actually can help you be very profitable when you start to look at where you sit relative
to the
market.
We've actually talked about that a lot, the idea that, look, it's here, it's going to be here. So the question is, do you in fact, not only are you not only subject to what it dictates for you, but can you use it to your advantage?
Absolutely.
Can you turn it into your own saber metrics where you can actually sit down and look at your data and number go, I can improve and actually make more money based on the information that I'm looking at here. Let me ask you a question, too, because we're talking trends. Part of what 2020 also was a great accelerant, the idea that we were kind of kept treading water by the homestead economy, you know, Lowe's, Home Depot, all of that stuff, the fact that the American consumer fixed their house because they stayed there, you know, and trucking actually helped along with that. What trends happened during the crisis that actually were already happening and simply were accelerated by the crisis, and what things happened that may not, in fact, continue now that we move back to an open
economy?
That's
a good question.
Yeah, it's actually a very tough question, but the answer is that we saw, you know, normally when you look at technology innovation, it takes sort of multiple years for technology to become ingrained in our daily psyche and part of our habits. That happened in a year. So we shortened the technology adoption cycle really quickly. Digital apps for finding where loads are.
Citrix was nicely positioned, wasn't it?
Right.
Nicely positioned.
Exactly. So we saw a lot of things come forward much sooner, and then we saw this shift. So this shift towards online retail purchasing was already happening.
Right.
It just got accelerated. Because as we all work from home, I kitted out my office with desks, furniture, computers, laptops, kids needed things for home. We've bought about all of that I think we can buy from overseas. Those containers are still blocked up at the ports trying to get that stuff in. Retail inventories are still down about $40 billion at the end of last year. We did the math. If you work on $3,800 per ton for freight, in terms of value, $40 billion translates into about 700,000 truckloads that we are still short in warehouses.
Wow.
So the inventory replenishment, they're still, you know, people that create the freight that we haul, they're still trying to restock their warehouses. And in fact, warehouses are so tight now, we're all trying to compete for the same warehouses to build them closer to where we all live so that we can get our stuff next day. So that's what's changed. That'll
remember
be
John Lee Hooker's song, Boom, 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 Boom? I mean, that's what it sounds like we're headed towards so many ways.
There's some permanent change here that we all need to look for. You know, for truckers, there's more freight coming to more ports, not just Los Angeles, Savannah. Because of the congestion, there's a lot more freight ending up in ports that you might not have thought about before in terms of where you put your truck to get loads out. You know, there's more freight on weekends because brokers are desperate for trucks outside of the work week because capacity is so tight. And that's where I think there's opportunity for carriers just to look at where the edges might be. You know, like sort of, there's a saying that there's no one home at the average. Right, and if you go to the outliers, like if you look at a bell curve distribution of data, if you go to the averages, that's where I've always found opportunity as a carrier. Because my motto when I ran trucks was I always did the exact opposite of everyone else. Because if you're doing the same thing as everyone else, you're probably doing the wrong thing, right, in terms of making margins and finding
By the time you get there, there's nobody there.
Exactly. I mean,
that's the other problem, too. Yeah. And in many ways, that is a part of your advice and part of what you kind of look at, the idea that it's like, look, you know, this is an opportunity here, but that the people have to really look at the numbers in regards to, if you're going to go into these markets now, you better be prepared for what it has to offer.
Jimmy, I wrote a couple of pieces in the last 2 weeks on, is it a good time to buy a truck? Because that's the most common question we get.
Right.
And of course, it's always a great time to buy a truck if you know what you're doing.
Right.
But the best advice is, like, if fuel is more than 24% of your revenue for the trip, you've got to be very careful, because in the long term, that means you're not going to be profitable. So I always look at the cost of diesel as a percentage of revenue. My best advice would be to carry as good times don't last. And these are good times. But what will happen is those that survive this are those that will manage for the downside. It's pretty easy to make money now, but if you don't manage for the downside and the inevitable fall in spot rates, that's going to be key. So, because good times just don't last like this.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too. You can actually, like I said, the thing we've been tracking on the show for the last couple of months is, you know, Pfizer makes its announcement November the 9th, and from that point on until last week, diesel began its long, slow kind of climb up as that price begins to get up. It looks like it's stabilized for a minute here, but that's really the thing, too. And last question before we wrap up. God, I could talk to you for longer than this, but in regards to what trends in the overall economy should anybody looking to get into this be looking at? I said, rather than looking at trucking, what's going on in the world that people should keep an eye on?
It's a good question. I think trucking, length of haul will probably change. I think Apple, I saw a story this week that Apple were buying a lot of empty strip malls, converting them into fulfillment centers, which potentially means more big trucks in cities, which is more congestion. So what I think will happen is, you know, normally you run a lot of truckload freight into big warehouses. That clearly is changing, where you're going to have smaller warehouses where shippers have got more backup inventory, and therefore you're going to have a different length of haul. You're going to have more sort of intermediate warehouses where you've got more short-haul day cab trucks where drivers are home every night. So I think a lot more freight's going to become regionalized, which for carriers is great, because you can be very profitable, have good utilization, good home-work balance, like you can be home every weekend or certainly every night. That's one thing that's definitely going to change. On the truckload side, the long-haul sector, capacity is going to be really tight, as in it's going to be hard to find drivers, because it's already hard to find drivers. We've got the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse.
50,000 gone, 50,000, with 36,000 still not back in the game.
Well, you can make $25 an hour driving a triaxle dump truck around Boston.
Right,
and be home every night.
Let me ask you a quick question before we wrap up here. The idea is that also you talked about the idea that some of these carriers get a chance to get people work-home balance.
Right.
Does it seem to you that if a carrier has an opportunity to create work-home balance, they should take advantage of it, because it's where the action is?
Not just that, Jimmy, but certainty, predictability.
Right.
Drivers love predictability. I want to know when I'm going to be home. Don't mess me around by holding me over, having me late on a dock, you know, missing.
Nobody ever calls to complain about that on our
you
show.
Have to,
ever.
If the one thing fleets could do for their drivers, whether it be brokers or for carriers, is have consistency week in, week out, and that will generate all the productivity you need. That's absolutely critical.
Trucking was never able in my career, you know, 50 years ago. Trucking was it wasn't even thought of, not by the drivers, not by the management, in terms of getting folks home. It was just about driving that truck and getting that stuff from here to there. Do you think and this has to be the final thing, but I just wanted to ask you, is the dynamic changing to the point that it's not so much about how we get it from here to there, but where are we going to put this stuff?
There's a big shortage because of warehouse capacity right now. There's a lot of unused offices as a result of people working from home. Now they're being converted into sort of short-term mini fulfillment centers. Even big chains like Walmart are using part of their warehouse space for that same-day delivery. I mean, it's not a new trend. I mean, they've been doing that in China for years, where they can do, you know, two-hour deliveries from the back of a warehouse. There's a section for immediate deliveries. Like, so I think a lot of people have become very good at dealing with this new economy. Those changes are here, I think, to stay.
I wish you were here to stay, but we got to get to the break here.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
It's absolutely a pleasure having you.
Dean Croak, everybody. He is the principal analyst at DAT Freight and Analytics, and we'll be right back.